a.m. in the morning, put my key in the door, and bodies laying all over the floor, and I don't remember how they got there, but I guess I must have killed them. Killed them. Hey, welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Labrador.
That boy is good.
Yeah. Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, December 3rd, 2025. And the countdown, the final countdown, for 2025 is on. I mean, I guess it started. Whatever. All right. So, get your resolutions in. I don't think I'm going to lose 100 pounds by January. I'm not trying. Who am I kidding? Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, if you happen to want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's my way of saying this podcast ain't for you. All right. I want to send a shout out to all you listeners. And I'm going to ask that you stand up and applaud yourselves. Yes, it's a tradition on this podcast. And the reason I do that, it's one way to, aside for shutting you out, is also to point out that if you're like me, you're probably like me. If you're my target audience, you're probably like me, and you're the kind of person who applauds everyone except the person in the mirror. So, yeah, I get it. I told that to my therapist that I do that, as she was reminding me that I have this habit of, okay, so you'll praise everyone, but when it comes to yourself, but whatever. You'll put everyone on a pedestal, but what about yourself? All right. And if this happens to be the first time listening to this podcast, yo, welcome. Yay! That's right. Kick off your shoes, relax your feet, party around down to the B Black B. Welcome. Especially if you happen to be someone who clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up podcast. Yeah. Regardless, how you got here, if this is your first time, welcome. Here's hoping that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. And ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. And in today's episode, titled 312, I'm not sure what the rest is going to be. Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go with Beat Up by Fear. I'll be talking about how I'm bullshitting. I realize that I've been bullshitting, man. I'm bullshitting. And but before we do that, we're gonna start with some quotables and randomness.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
All right, that's the first start. So I said quotables, quotables. And the reason for that is, you know what? Doesn't matter. Oh, because it's my goddamn podcast. That's why. It's my goddamn podcast. I switch it up. All right. All right. First quote goes, it's a verse. It goes, too scared to have kids and do like daddy did because I'm so scared of failing. Anthony Hamilton. All right. Next one is by Jay-Z, and it goes, this is the number one rule for your set. In order to survive, gotta live with regrets. On the rise to the top, many drop. Don't forget, in order to survive, you gotta learn to live with regrets. Sean Carter, Jay-Z. Last one is, the shock value of my success put bolts in me. All this money is God playing a joke on me. Is it for the moment, and will he see me as Job? Take it from me and leave me worse than I was before. Kendrick Lamar. K-Dot. Right. All right. So, yeah, that's it for quotables. Let's jump into randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. Excuse me. First randomness is I feel like pretty... Okay, so on this podcast, we believe in celebrating victories, even the small ones, all right? Brag about it. Make a big fucking deal. Make a rap video about it, man. Have a pop champagne, pop bottles with models. And so today's celebration, or today's humble brag is... despite the fact, I'm actually surprised I'm about to say this, because a lot of you aren't going to believe me, but today was payday. Despite the fact that I was paid after work, I was hungry. And I picked up my phone, was about to order some Uber Eats, and then then something slapped the phone out of my hand and said, get up and cook yourself something. And that's exactly what I did. I fought the urge to order in and made myself something to eat. Now, that's a big deal. Clapping myself on the shoulder. Dusting my shoulders off, all right? So, that's right, kids. Stay in school.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
So you can be like me.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. okay. All right, so this one is... I labeled it H-Mart Gate Sujia. I hope I'm pronouncing her name properly. Yeah, Sujia. And a previous episode. Did I really forget? I think it was episode 304. Did I really close the browser? Hold on. 304. All right, here's what it's at. Okay, so in... so H-Mart Gate... If for those who don't know, I'll read the brief AI explanation for him. The term H-Mart Gate refers to a recent online cultural conflict on social media, primarily TikTok, involving discussions about the experience of non-Asian people shopping at H-Mart, actually white people, a Korean American supermarket chain. Oh, okay, I guess. That's equivalent to our TNT, I guess. Whatever. The controversy began when a mixed-raced Asian woman posted a video saying she side-eyes white people in H-Mart, implying a form of cultural policing or gatekeeping. I don't know about this description. The video sparked a large amount of dialogue within the Asian American community online, leading to different perspective and debates on the topic, such as cultural ownership, gatekeeping, influencer response, identity. You know what? Okay, I really don't like this assessment. Okay, so episode, because I'm proud of myself, 304. No, that's not it. Oh, shit, we're out at 304. Holy, sorry, guys, I'm losing my count. It's, 306, Jesus Christ. 306, yo then what, man? And I talked about a content creator on TikTok. Her name is Say Kiss, her government name is Madeline. She put out a video where she talks about how she side-eyes white people when she's at the supermarket. And the thing is, it was in the part, you know, to add to it, and it was a hot take. She was speaking from her own experience while at the same time using humor to express how I feel a type of way when I see white people at the grocery store. And then the punchline is how she saw another half Asian woman who's side-eyeing her, and they're side-eyeing each other, then they'll be like, oh, we get it, whatever. But anyway, so what's funny is when I first heard it, I was thinking of all the white people who were like, fuck you. And then I had no idea that there was also Asians who were like, what's the word? condemning, discounting, criticizing her, dissing her for what she was doing, for what she did. Now, 306 came out in, oh, there's no date on this motherfucker? Oh, November 13, 2025. All right, so, yeah. And at the time, the video, wow, I'm really getting off topic. I'm sort of getting off topic because H-Mart Gate is a portion of what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, so fast forward to now, apparently the video resurfaced, so this discussion got louder. Black people are in it too. There's a lot of black folks who shared my sentiment of, we know what she's talking about. And then, but there's like, it went from, this poor woman went from being attacked, doxxed, to now, what's the word? Not redeeming herself, excuse me, like feeling vindicated. I think that's the word, vindicated. Because she's been seeing all the support that she's been getting from the message from people who understood her intention. And fuck you people who were comparing it to segregation. But out of all the people who criticized her, one that caught me by surprise and shocked me the same way Denisha Carter shocked me when she was reposting videos of fuckboys talking about, yeah, what happened to Kira Bro at that club, her getting punched by a bouncer was justified. It's is a content creator. Her name is Sujia. Let me make sure I say her name right. Last thing I need is to, and she's got a, there we go, Sujia. Hey, good for me, price for me. All right. And she was amongst the people who dissed her, who were like, hey, man, that kind of shit is, okay, I didn't watch the original video, but she was on the side of everyone dissing her and criticizing her. And she's got a big platform. And I don't know if they're saying she's responsible for it, but Miley ended up getting doxxed over it. I remember seeing, because Suja is another content creator, and she's known for just saying righteous shit. Just be on the right side of history. This is an interesting point. On the right side of history. I guess I'm just going to say, saying shit that I agree with. I'm going to leave it at that. Not to say that I'm always on the right side. I'm just saying the, you know, okay, this is another discussion of the good guys and the bad guys, I guess. Are you a good guy because you say the shit that I like? But you know, whatever, man. But she was not on the list of people I expected to not understand her point. So today's episode today's randomness nearly was how great. First Denisha Carter, now her. To Sujia's credit, she listened to the criticism. The people who, because like I said, the people started supporting Madeline and they were very vocal and they started speaking against the people who didn't understand her, especially Asian content creators who, I'm going to use the word, should have known better. And Sujia was on that list. To her credit, she was like, yo, I listened. And she started, she started with a first apology video that a lot of people consider like, come on, you're bullshitting, whatever, man. You're, this was just PR. But then she, series of videos to being like, nah, I'm getting it, guys. I'm my bad. I saw it one way and now I get it. So I'm like, so I guess it's, it started as a bad news, but I'm glad she did that. And, yeah, last episode, CGS. So the whole point to this segment was starting with how I was disappointed with Sujia, and I'm careful with the way I use the word disappointed because, like I said, she doesn't live under my expectation. But she, again, she wasn't on the list of people I expected to be who wouldn't understand Madeline's take. And then she went from not understanding to finally understanding. Now, high five to her. So, yeah, that's the update for H-Mart Gate. I Yo, there's so many takes on H Mart Gate that I don't know which one to share. Which one to share with you. But I am saying that in a recent video, I'm not going to play it, by Madeline, where she says, ha-ha. Well, no, she doesn't say ha-ha, but basically, vindicated. I got it. I feel like I'm applauding both women, Madeline and Sujia. And I'm also going to talk about them in the final say, right? I'm applauding both of them. Sujia for expressing herself, sharing her truth, feeling the fire for her, feeling the fire from it, and then going from Ashley to class, from being criticized to having stones thrown at her to having like, yo, no, actually the better analogy is from walking into the fire and coming out with three dragons. And that's not a shot at, that's not about her being half Chinese. It's about her being Khaleesi. Wow, that came out wrong. And shout out to Sujia for a rare human trait to be like, okay, I'm changing my opinion based on new information. Yay! One less reason for me to hate humanity.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, next one is, okay, so situation at work. Let me focus on time. All right, so a situation at work that got me shook. There's this habit I have at work, and especially as a black dude in IT, where not just imposter syndrome, but I feel like I'm constantly second guessed. Now, I brought in race into it, but I'm going to say also, I'm going to throw in that there's also an element of insecurity on my part, where I don't assert myself the way, or I don't talk like someone who's confident, even when I know I'm right. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. So there's this randomness is about my fear of getting it wrong. I'm in a situation, I was about to do a praise dance for this, a praise break. But yeah, I was in a situation at work where I was, I'm asked to do this upgrade, a system upgrade, my team and I are asked to do an upgrade. And I know how long it takes to do it. Right. And I've been dealing with a client who's been trying, they want a minute, but trying to get to cut corners. It's like, yeah, 5 days, 2 days. What, you know, just try and shorten it. And sometimes you're not sure you know what it feels like? It feels like this chick keeps haggling me. What, you're selling for $10? Give it for me for $5. And the worst part is, at the time, two things. At the time, if I'm going to stick to this haggling exercise, right? On one end, I was convincing myself that I was being accommodating. Not, hey, let me give this person a discount so for repeat business. No, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm being accommodating. At the same time, I'm also scared that if I don't give it for a cheaper price, they'll find it somewhere else. So getting back to real world reality is I gave an estimate for how long it would take to do it safely. But the way this client speaks, I'm scared that it's as if they see the insecurity and it's like, hey, well, you say it will take you 2 days, while my expert is saying it would take them half hour. And just saying that is enough for me to be like, okay, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to risk asserting something, being wrong, being proven wrong, and then being said, we knew you weren't good enough. The thing is getting it wrong. I'm scared to give an estimate and then later find out it's wrong and the world crashes on me. It's a fear. Again, the theme in today's episode is going to be fear. It's a fear. What I didn't realize is that this particular client just kept doing it, I won't use the word bully, but kept fucking with me, man. You say 2 days, doing it in one day. You say this is, I should have written examples, but essentially I feel like, I'm trying to process my thought. Okay, I'm going to pretend you understand what the fuck I'm saying here. Right. I'm always scared of being in a situation where it's like there's a fear that, haha, I proved it. You're not as smart as you think you are, or you claim you are, or you shouldn't be in this role as a team lead. You know what's funny? I'm talking about work, and it's not about racism. I should have started with that. But no, this is really a one-on-one. This is really, again, about the fear of getting it wrong, the fear of being found out that, oh, you're an imposter. At work, I play this role of, the person on this podcast and the person at work, two completely different people. I shrink. And I'm thinking how this situation between this particular client was fucking with me to a point where I nearly didn't want a podcast. I nearly didn't want to release this episode. No, actually, I didn't want to release this episode because version of me at work was like, hey, pussy, shut the fuck up. I feel like I'm not making the connections properly. What I'm trying to say is the insecurity from work was dragging and was like permeating through this podcast. And that's what was making me like not want to record. Shit had me shook. This chick had me shook. Luster shook. I won't say I was losing sleep, but I know that I was thinking a lot about this situation. Again, in my mind, I'm thinking by cutting corners, I'm being accommodating. That's pretty much what the client's pretty much requesting. Or maybe they don't know. As far as they're concerned is, look, we're just trying to get this shit done as fast as possible. with no delay, if we could get it done yesterday, that'd be great. But I'm going to use, again, return to cut corners. They're really in everything's got to be done in a hurry. What's more important is things getting done quickly as opposed to things getting done properly. It's a tug of war. I guess that's the negotiation, right? Okay, I tell you what, imagine you go to a dealership. This is how I kept looking at it, right? Imagine you go to the dealership and they tell you that, yeah, that repair you want us to do, we're going to need your car for 2 days. And you're like, fuck of that. I need my car tomorrow. And I felt like the mechanic said, all right, fine, all right. I had other priorities, but we'll just focus on your car. And I'm just going to tell my team to work a double. And, you know, they might kill themselves, but fuck it. You're going to get your car in 1 day, whatever, right? I think that the key word is if you can accommodate, do it. But I was put in a situation where I couldn't, and I wasn't pushing back. There we go. Holy fuck, that was hard to. It was like pulling teeth. And I wasn't pushing back, and I kept coming home feeling like a bitch, feeling defeated. Here's the good news, friends. guys and gals, here's the good news. Yeah, I'm amazed. Holy shit! To think I didn't think it was going down that way. Yo, I hate using this word, but I sacked up. I didn't look at that sacking up. It was more like five. It's like, yo, my back is against the corner. I can't take it. This is what happened because I was having a conversation with the team, and the team reminded me that, dude, we usually get a week to do this shit, and you're asking us to do it in a day. And this comes back to celebrating others instead of celebrating. If it was just me, I would have hurt myself. But the idea of sacrificing other people because I can't find the balls to do the right thing bothered me. So it was enough for me to finally get, tell the boss about the situation. I should also bring up that at first, the boss was also in the same situation because I wasn't doing a good job explaining that, hey, this process takes this amount of time for this reason. So he was also on the side of whatever the fuck they want. But finally, I explained the situation and it's like, yeah, man, this chick is asking for free shit or for the impossible and yada, yada, yada. Long story short, got him on the same page. And that was enough for me. It helps to have a supporting, management on your side. So that's my thing. Because I had management on my side, it was easier for me to go to the client and be like, yo, I know I told you we could do it. Now I'm telling you it's not going to happen. I actually did that. Dude, I was scared. I don't think you understand how fucking scared I was for doing it. At the time, I didn't see it. I expressed myself and I made sure, I rehearsed, right? I expressed myself, made sure not to over-explain. And avoided using words that would essentially shift the conversation from, I'm not asking, I'm telling you. Take it or leave it. And the funny, and of course, the response was exactly like person who likes to step over people's boundaries. It was, the response was emotional. It was scary. The response was the same response you would expect from someone who takes pleasure over stepping over, who likes fuck your boundaries, stepping over boundaries. And I remember after the conversation, I went from being scared to how I'm feeling right now. Proud. victory. What's the word? I feel like I won. I feel like, you know what? Like I deserve these applause. Now, who knows? Tomorrow I might come back to work and she might have trick up their sleeves. Like, you don't think you know who you're fucking with. But I said my piece. That's my point. I said my piece. I'm just glad, man. That's the good news. That's the good news. So I was not expecting to talk about how I managed to overcome fears, but this was just supposed to be an episode about fear, but I just realized that I kind of changed it. But anyways, so this ends today's this randomness. Let's jump into the final say, and we all get the fuck out of here. All right. But before we do anything, let's take a quick break. You know, out of all the quotables that I shared, the one that rings the most or that really aligns with today's final say is too scared to have kids and do like my daddy did because I'm so scared of failing. That last verse, because I'm so scared of failing. I had a moment in in therapy where I realized that I'm bullshitting when it comes to this podcast. Bullshitting. I mean, I'm enjoying recording it. I'm enjoying publishing it, going through the motions. But the part I haven't worked out yet is putting myself out there, making it known, finding my target audience, finding the people who would fuck with this shit. But in order to do that, I got to go through, it's kind of like dating. I got to go through a lot of bullshit, a lot of what the fuck, a lot of bullshit, a lot of people who this is not meant for them. I keep repeating the word bullshit, but a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of people. One thing I noticed was for social media, the people who the art message isn't intended for tend to speak the loudest, yell the loudest. So I got to go through a lot of that before I can reach the people I want to reach, the people who would connect with what the fuck I'm trying to say. And I didn't realize when I was, again, at the last therapy session, I didn't realize what I was, using a lot of, well, those of you who are familiar, you know, you see I do a lot of talking. But what I realized what I was expressing was, I have a fear of mistakes, fear of making mistakes, fear of failure, fear of regret, fear of being in the same boat or getting the same kind of attention Denisha Carter, Suja, Madeline, or Kira Bro, fear of being criticized. All the above, all these fears that people who are successful would tell you, well, that's the shit you need to get over in order to get. That's that bridge you need to get across. That's that river you need to jump across. Fear. Fear, creativity. Fear is a wickedness or weakness. This segment is just about fear. I am not going to offer solutions. Even though on the last randomness, yes, I did stand. But I am saying how, yo, fear is kicking my ass. I don't consider myself the brave type, but I will confront my fears when I need to. I don't know, for those of you who've seen Band of Brothers, there's a book out there, but Band of Brothers, I think this is the second episode of Band of Brothers, and it's a series based on World War II, specifically Americans on the, not the Japanese part, fighting the Germans, that one, on the, is it the Western Theater, whatever, man. Fuck, I look like a historian. Anyways, there's an episode in Band of Brothers where, I'm not going to teach you about World War II, but there's on D-Day, aside from what you saw in Saving Private Ryan when they stormed the beach, there was also the Allies landed in Normandy by paratroopers. Like, they had, like, paratroopers jump behind enemy lines. Excuse me. And there's this scene. The scene opens up with a whole bunch of planes, I guess, flying over, getting close to France. And you can hear the in the distance, you can hear the missiles, the fire, the enemy fires coming at the plane, the anti-aircraft weapons being fired up, and boom, a lot of boom, and these motherfuckers are on the plane. And there's a scene where, is it Captain Winters? Whatever, Winters. The guy's last name is Winters. One of the main characters, right? He's sitting on the plane, and he's like, you know you're about to jump, but his head is turned like he's listening and looking at the carnage. Like, I'm about to jump off this well-working plane, and I'm going to jump in that shit. And I, have you guys ever been like on a campsite or been outside of the city where there's no street light at night? It's pitch fucking dark. It's for a city person, it's enough to scare you if you don't have a flashlight, right? You're just not used to how black it is. So these motherfuckers are on a plane. These paratroopers are on a plane. Again, yes, this is about fear. Are on a plane flying towards over enemy lines. They're being shot at. And the idea is, okay, when we reach our destination, y'all jumping. Oh, and try to dodge them bullets on the way down. Where I'm going with this is, I love the scene of when the plane is firing and the main character is looking at the carnage, and his face, he looks fearless. He looks fearless. But you know for a fact he's scared as fuck. But the motherfucker's got it under control. I know what that Zen feeling is like, is when you're Okay, hold on. Whoa. No, I'm not. I'm not saying. I'm comparing myself to a paratrooper. Not at all. What I was about to say is, I know when you do a presentation, public speaking, and you go on stage and you speak, you're scared as fuck. But once your mouth opens, you're like, I'm exercising a different. It's the fear. I'm doing it despite the fear. That's the point. This is where I'm going with all this. Doing it despite the fear. And I'm thinking of when that scene of him flying over, you guys can't see my hand, flying over enemy lines and just looking at the carnage, and he knows he's about to jump, and he's like, whatever. This is Tuesday for me. Fucking paratroopers. But I was just amazing on the look on his face. Fuck fear. And he jumps in the fucking darkness. The only light are the fucking anti-whatever craft being shot at him. So what I'm getting at is, fear is a motherfucker. I'm talking about, I think that's what I'm trying to encapsulate, is that fear he must have felt. I'm not talking about defying that fear. I'm telling you, that fear is a motherfucker. If I was on that well, first of all, I'm not getting on that fucking plane. My fear would have kept my ass at home. I can get out of the military being gay? I'll suck a dick. Whatever. Sorry, I'm, words I would never say in a barbershop. I mean, that's a joke. Fear. This is really what I'm talking about, man. Just getting my ass kicked by fear. At my last therapy session, I feel like I was just, I was just talking about fear. And I feel like my therapist was just looking at me and it's like, I don't know what to tell you. Because I wasn't, it's like I wasn't looking for solutions. Okay, now I understand the cross section. I was looking for solution and I wasn't looking for solution. I didn't want solution. I was just talking about fear and I could just feel her just looking at me like, yeah. So how do we go from there to here? I'm honestly, if I was an artist, this what this episode would be, I would, what does fear look like? I'd be drawing, this is what my attempt to draw a picture of what this fear that traps me. Anyways, this segment is not meant to provide solution. I'm just saying this is where I'm at. It was the only thing. Because yesterday I was feeling shitty about myself and I remember going, yeah, fuck that, you're bullshitting yourself. And the only thing that inspired me to do an episode was just to talk about that goddamn fear. And that's why Kendrick Lamar's track Fear is like in my head right now. I love that line of that line. The last part, is it the third verse? Where he's like, I'm talking fear of losing creativity. Talking fear I'm missing out on you would be. I'm talking fear of losing out on loyalty and from pride, because my DNA won't let me involve in the light of God. I'm talking fear that my humbleness is gone. I'm talking fear that love ain't living here no more. I'm talking fear it's wickedness or weakness. Fear, whatever it's both distinctive. Fear, what happens on earth stays on earth. I can take these feelings with me, so hopefully they disperse. 14 tracks, within 14 tracks, carried over wax, searching for resolution until somebody get back. Anyways, fear. Mine is fear. Fear of making a mistake. Fear of failure. Fear of regrets. I don't, whatever, man. This is the part where I should tell you that, yeah, I'm going to snap out of it. Nah, I'm stuck there. Who knows? Maybe if this, the thing is, you might have 100 more episodes of me stuck in that fear. But one thing I won't deny, I know I'm bullshitting myself. I'm playing myself. I'm not playing, whatever, man. I'm not jumping off that plane. I guess this is what I'm saying. I'm not ready to jump off that plane. Fuck it. Let's just crash. All right. It's as real as it's going to get. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it, talking about it. Reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com and the email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Hey, yo, gang. If at any point in this episode you find yourself saying, why the fuck did he say it like that? Or I didn't like that he said that. Or I didn't like that he said that. I like that he said it, but I didn't like it. He said it that way. All I have to say is, it's my goddamn podcast. My goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm...